Introducing Pride Cuppa by Pride Cup, the podcast, a special six-part series which delves into how we can manage our mental health and well-being with a focus on Australian sporting culture. Each week, your hosts James Lolicato and Cara Montaneri will be joined by sporting and health experts to share their experiences and knowledge to help you navigate these crazy times with pride. This series is proudly sponsored by Vic Health and Pride Cup Australia, and it all starts now.
Welcome back to another episode of Pride Cuppa, the podcast. As always, I'm James Olicato and I'm here with...
I'm Cara Montaneri.
This is our third episode, isn't it, Cara?
It sure is. And today we're talking about that friend and foe, food.
It's always been a friend and a foe for me, I think. I started life a pretty heavy kid at high school and then got into exercise, got into sport, got into more healthy eating and spoke to a nutritionist, and that started my journey for healthy eating. And I know that today we're going to speak to Dr. Sandro De Mayo, the CEO of Vic Health, who's also going to talk about what Vic Health has found out about people's eating experiences, both healthy, not so healthy, throughout lockdown.
There's been a real sort of complex range of ways that people have coped during that lockdown period in terms of, what we were eating. So, you know, some people had a real uptake in takeaway food. There were definitely a lot of people who started cooking and baking bread. It was a bit of a joke, you know, you start baking sourdough when you're in lockdown, that sort of thing. But I did. I was annoying. I made a sourdough, a starter. But look, as always, we're taking some of the things that we've learned from the Victorian COVID wellbeing study that Vic Health conducted earlier in the year. And we're just going to have a little bit of a chat about some of the challenges and some of the ways that we're going to spring out into spring and summer and get cracking and ready for the
spring.
We're going to spring into spring and summer and get back into our sports and back into the warm weather, feeling healthy and ready to tackle COVID normal.
I love it. And do you know what I love most? Because on the lead up to this episode, I know we've talked a little bit about our kind of journey with healthy eating, what we've done and what lockdown has looked like for us. You know, though, that I've always been a big cook. So always been a big cook, always have a little notebook next to my kitchen to write down all my recipes as I go, because my dream is to have my own cookbook. I've always been a big cook. The thing that I struggled with a lot in the lockdown was tying in how to support local business, because I wanted to support local business and still get to cook myself and cook for my partner and have my partner cook for me. But kind of really do that scheduling process so we can make time. We don't have any food wastage because we know exactly what we're going to buy, but then we also have time on one day of the weekend to order some food from a local establishment, support them, help them out, but also try something different.
Yeah, and listen, I think that, again, everyone's experience was really different. Like, we don't really do takeaway in this house. Like, the kids always nag for it. But, you know, during that COVID period, I felt like I couldn't do anything else for the kids, and like we couldn't go anywhere, we couldn't do anything exciting. And so I probably ordered more takeaway, but at the same time we're still cooking more, you know, more often. Like I cook most nights of the week. I'm the same as you. I love cooking. But surprisingly enough, it became more of a reward thing, which it's not really my philosophy, and I've had to recognize that and pull it right back. And I think the other thing that you and I probably need to recognize whilst we're talking about this is that we're pretty lucky in that we've obviously had access to food to be able to cook. We've had access mm-hmm. to fresh produce. We've had access to be able to get takeaway, whether that's geographically being able to afford it and that sort of thing. And I know that I'm sure Dr. Sandro will chat a bit about that, because some of the findings out of that COVID survey was that food security was a real issue. And it's something that's always an issue in our communities, but it was obviously something that really came under the sort of looking glass through that survey.
And something that we haven't experienced a lot in Victoria as well, as like the food bowl of the nation and kind of some of Australasia as well, is we've never experienced that lack of stable food and steady food. So I think with the fires and a few other things that we've had this year, we did start to see that. And yeah, I really hope Dr. Sandro will talk a little bit further about that and what that looks like in the future for us as well, and when exactly we'll get over it and what we can do in the meantime. I know that I've always had a thriving garden out the back as well. So have my herbs, always have some veggies. I mean, coming into summer, we're going to start planting those veggies soon, get our tomatoes in, get our summer vegetables in. But I am lucky that I can always go back onto that when they don't have the seasonal goods in the local supermarket or where I shop.
Yeah, listen, and there's loads of learnings that have come out of that. And I think the whole panic buying and all of that sort of stuff. And, you know, the research that Vic Health has done is so important. Like we're so lucky to have such an incredible public health organisation here in Victoria. And all of the work that they have done is to really find out how we can best support Victorians if this was to ever happen again, and what support we need to sort of shift back into that COVID normal that we're starting to find ourselves into, you know. So I think the work is incredible. And as you said, yeah, up and down, like I'm the same. I'm lucky enough to have a little bit of space in my garden to grow some things. I love cooking. I have access to takeaway. But for me, the challenge was not to be constantly eating for entertainment. Like that's a bit of a problem for me. Like, yeah. You know, it was kind of like Netflix and cheese. Yeah. Netflix and dip. And the other thing too was it was Netflix and a wine and cheese and dip. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I had to really pull myself up on. And, you know, I wasn't drinking in copious amounts, but definitely more regularly than I would have. And I know that the findings in that survey was that there are a lot of people that were drinking more heavily than we normally would. Well, we'll definitely ask Dr. Sandro about that as well.
Now, just before we go to the interview with Sandro, I have one question for you, Cara. Are you ready?
Yes, James, I'm ready.
Okay. I want to know what has been or is your favorite breakfast to get your day started.
Is it one that I cook myself, or is it like my dream going out breakfast?
Let's go your dream going out and what you cook. Ooh, I want to hear both.
Oh, they're both usually pretty similar. I'm one of those people that if I have a like dream food that I eat out, I try to recreate it at home.
Yeah.
I have two loves. I'm a savory breakfast person usually. On the odd occasion, I'll have like a smoothie bowl or something exciting like that. But generally, I'm a savory breakfast. So I really love chili scrambled eggs. And I have chickens in my backyard. So I have super happy eggs. And I love a chili scramble. And I also love, if I'm having a vegan day, like I do have quite a number of vegan days in my week, I will love a garlic and herb mushroom on toast. A little bit of vegan feta on top. And I am cracking to go. So both of those things, and if I can find a fancy version of those when I go out, like with all the fancy bits and pieces on the side, I'm living the dream.
Or else you're like me. Well, you're like me. I go eat something that I like, and then I come home and I'm like, I need to make this. and then I'm searching recipes and trying to find what's
I think it's the Italian blood, James. I think it's the Italian blood.
It could be, but a very un-Italian of me, I think my favorite breakfast ever is an acai bowl.
Oh, you're so fancy.
I know. It's my living in Fitzroy that's coming out. But
so
really
fancy.
It has been always since my first ever encounter with one 5 years ago. I think I've just been in love with them. It's that coolness, especially if it's a hot day. It comes from the acai. It's the berry. It's the banana. It's the coconut.
It's the vibe.
It's the sweetness. And then plus the aroma of the fruits. It's what really starts my day to a good mood. And that is the one thing I cannot make at home, because every time I do it, I stain my blender with acai berry, which is this purple berry for anybody who doesn't know.
It's a fancy purple berry.
The fruit's never good. I don't cut it right. My coconut's always off. So it's the thing that I keep going to when I'm out, because I know that I can't make it at home.
You are hilarious. All right. Yeah. Well, we're going to cross over to our interview with Dr. Sandro Di Maio, and we're going to chat about how the COVID situation has influenced what we consume. And we should be sure to ask him what he likes to have for breakfast. Enjoy. We have Dr. Sandro Di Maio here. He is the CEO of Vic Health. He's also a medical doctor and a world-renowned advocate for public health and health promotion. So welcome, Sandro. Thank you for joining us. Just for everyone at home, to remind them, we're running these podcasts just out of some of the findings that you all came up with when you conducted the Vic Health Coronavirus Victorian Wellbeing Impact study, which I thought was a really great document. And just to have a little bit of a snapshot of how we went during that first period of, you know, interventions this earlier this year, we do try to take our subject matter out of that. And so today we did think we'd have a bit of a look at some of the eating patterns and things that did happen whilst we were under those sort of lockdowns. Can you tell us what those main findings were around how we did consume food and alcohol?
Yeah, sure. So you have to cast your minds back to about April when this survey was first conducted. We have just finished a second survey, which we'll report very soon, which looked at the end of the lockdown, the end of the second lockdown. But this survey looked at early in the first lockdown. And you have to remember, I mean, gosh, 2020 seems like a decade now that we look back, not a year. But back at the start of the years, we had droughts, we had bushfires, some of the worst bushfires in Australian history. And with that, there were some big shifts in our food supply, in our ability to grow food, but also to transport food and get food to consumers, to supermarkets, to corner stores, and to large markets, distribution markets, cheaply and at scale. And so what that meant for everyday consumers was that we saw a big increase in the price of food across the first couple of months of this year, even before coronavirus hit. We saw, and in particular, we saw some big increases in the price of fresh fruits and vegetables. And then, of course, coronavirus hit and we saw panic buying. We saw skyrocketing food prices again. We saw COVID itself impacting on the food supply. You remember places like distribution centers, abattoirs, even farmers being able to get workers into the country or into regional Victoria to be able to pick produce. So COVID really affected every part of our food system, from farm all the way through to fork and family. And so when we launched this coronavirus, this health and wellbeing focused survey, we expected to see some impacts of coronavirus and the pandemic, but what we saw was even beyond what we had anticipated. We saw things like 1 in 4 Victorians reported they'd relied on unhealthy, low-cost food because of financial constraints. So 1 in 4 Victorians were turning to unhealthy foods, junk foods, because they're unable to afford to put good, healthy, nutritious food on the table. 1 in 2 single-income households, single-parent households, were suffering from severe food stress. We saw food insecurity double across the state, and we saw it particularly increase in communities that were already facing enormous barriers to achieving good health and wellbeing and accessing good, fresh, healthy food. So low-income families, regional families, families living in bushfire-affected communities, First Nations Victorians, young Victorians on tenuous work. We saw increases also concerningly of sugary drinks, particularly again in the bushfire affected regions. We saw a big increase in the amount of sugary drinks being consumed. The main take home was that there was an issue, a big challenge of Victorians being able to access and really afford fresh, healthy food, which we know is so critical for health and wellbeing. On the flip side though, there were some silver linings, some things that were promising. We saw big increases in cooking at home. We saw increases in people cooking from scratch, buying whole foods and getting back into the kitchen. Now, this was largely to save money, but still that would have had benefits for those families, for those individuals. In terms of alcohol, we saw a really mixed picture. In some groups, particularly among young people and those on JobKeeper and those in bushfire-affected regions, we saw an increase in short-term harm from alcohol. So we saw probably increasing the patterns like kind of large amounts of alcohol in a small amount of time, binge type drinking patterns. Whereas in other populations, older people, particularly older men, we saw increase in what we call long-term harmful drinking practices, which would be, you know, everyday drinking, quite large amounts, but over a sustained period. So it was mixed. There wasn't one clear picture like there was with food and access to food, but we saw some really concerning results. At the same time, we heard from colleagues in the medical system, emergency departments, that while they saw less presentations as a result of alcohol, the presentations that they did see were far more severe. People were having worse accidents, and this picture fitted with an increase in that risky type of drinking, large amounts of alcohol being consumed in short periods. So the picture emerged that while the coronavirus and the indirect effects on food and healthy food, on diets, on health and on alcohol consumption were probably different depending on your postcode, on the resources that you had access to, on your income and also the makeup of your household?
I mean, those are challenges, I guess, that we are probably just been put under the magnifying glass, really, haven't they? So it will be very interesting to see what you find having come to the end of that next period. I know anecdotally, I've come across all of those examples that you've mentioned, you know, in terms of food security, different people that I know who live in different areas and people that work in different sort of parts of the health sector have absolutely everything that you've just said, it really aligns with kind of the true story that I've seen in real life anyway.
It's a real multi-generational approach, this research that we saw from the research. And what you saw was some pretty damaging results that came out through all of the generations and differing, like you said, that binge type drinking compared to the long ongoing drinking that could then turn into an alcohol abuse problem or something that comes up. And it's very interesting to run this research and then find out intervention plans and what we can do to make sure that if this ever happens again, and now what we can be doing to make sure we are tackling it the right way.
That's right. And that's really what the purpose of the survey was for us, is to listen to Victorians, understand where they're at, what they need from a health promotion agency like Vic Health. At the end of the day, we exist to improve the health and wellbeing of all Victorians, and also to provide that information to partners like yourself, to government, to NGOs, so that we can really make sure that the responses that we, the way we're responding to support Victorians at this really critical time are the ways that Victorians need and are appropriate. And I would just say, Cara, the point you made before is absolutely right. In any normal given year, anything up to 1 in 7 Victorians are food insecure. So this is a big issue, even at the best of times. Many, many, many thousands of Victorians go without food, cannot refill their pantries, cannot refill their fridges because they simply can't afford to. That is a big ongoing issue for our state. This pandemic and the effects, particularly the economic effects through jobs, really just exacerbated an already a long-standing challenge, as it's done in so many other areas affecting our health.
In terms of that and sort of coupling it with hopefully not long-term habits that people have started to develop, but those, you know, those shorter-term habits, I mean, James and I have spoken about it. I certainly, at the very beginning of that first COVID, it felt like, I don't mean a holiday in terms of that it was fun, but it just did feel kind of like every day of the week, it was this kind of strange Friday night feeling, even though it wasn't. And certainly, you know, definitely was sort of casually drinking far more than I, and it wasn't a lot, but I don't drink very much. And I did notice that, and it was something that I sort of went, oh, hang on, like I need to sort of pay attention to this. And, you know, and lucky to have that sort of ability to reflect. But I think these are all really good learnings that we just now take into the future in events like this, as James mentioned. But going into now from where we've been into like a new COVID normal. So we've talked about the challenges around food security, but let's look at those habits as well. Do you think there are going to be challenges for people getting back into a sort of regular healthy eating space, or that are beyond the food security, just in terms of habits that they've developed?
Look, I think the takeaway that we are hearing from individuals across families across the state is that there have been benefits that they want to hold on to, and there have been challenges that they're really keen to, you know, drop away and return to a better, a healthier normal. In terms of habits, I think some of the habits of cooking at home, because we've had more time because of flexible working hours, or maybe not having to commute as often, and therefore a few more, I mean, that easily adds 1 to 2 hours in your day, which I think people have been using, then coupled with, you know, maybe not going out as often or not being able to go out often. I think people have really got back into the kitchen. We know that. We can see that in the evidence. People have then realized that being in the kitchen allows them, well, first of all, it's enjoyable. It allows them to share great food. James and I come from families that have grown up sharing great food together. And it's, you know, many of our great memories are sharing great food with family. And I think there's been a resurgence of that in households. There's also been a realization that it's a great way to save money. It actually costs a lot less if you're not going out, if you're not outsourcing your dining on a regular basis. So I think, you know, there have probably been, there's been a kind of disruption of our routines. It's brought some benefits. And I think people are keen to hold on to some of those silver linings as we return to a new normal. At the same time, I think that the challenges of putting back in your commuting time, kids going back to school, the morning drop-off, the routines, the responsibilities, that will start to erode some of that time. And so being mindful and conscious of, if you can, of trying to, you know, maintain some of those healthy things within the new normal as those other added pressures returned to our days. But also importantly, thinking about, you know, giving away some of those probably less healthy habits that we've formed. And Cara, you talked before about alcohol. It's been an incredibly stressful year for so many Victorians, whether it's worried about family, worried about jobs, worried about the future. And people often turn to alcohol, particularly our evidence shows that young people and young women have been turning more to alcohol during lockdown as a way of reducing their stress. The message I would just say is, as a doctor, but also based on the research, is that it actually doesn't help with stress reduction. What it does is the alcohol crosses your blood-brain barrier, so it crosses freely into your brain tissue, slows down your brain function. So it's a toxin which slows down your brain function temporarily. It makes you feel slightly more relaxed, but first of all, it will disrupt your sleep, particularly the rejuvenating important REM sleep. So you'll probably wake up feeling less refreshed, and then all of the issues with sleep deprivation, like greater irritability, etc., poorer decision making. But in addition to that, it also actually, all the evidence suggests that you actually end up with more stress the next day. There's a rebound effect, and so the anxiety does return, and often returns more severely after drinking alcohol. So, you know, what are some other ways that people who maybe have drunk more alcohol products across the COVID period, you know, what are the ways as we return to sport, as we're able to catch up with friends more often, as we're able to get out for more than 1 or 2 hours a day and get a long walk, as we're able to reconnect with our social groups, start going back to the gym, start going back to group exercise classes, all of those things which are probably the stress releases that we lost and then tried to fill with, a quicker fix. We can now go back to some of those healthier long-term habits. So I think it's just about, you know, pausing for a moment and saying, what are the things that I've really enjoyed during lockdown? What are the things that have probably actually made me healthier? How can I hold on to them in a new normal? And what are the things that probably on balance are less healthy and it's time to give them up and find, you know, something, you know, a healthier, more sustainable way of maintaining good health long term.
Yeah, I've seen this a lot with a lot of the young people that I'm working with at the moment in counseling are finding it really tough to get back into the new normal way of life. And scheduling is so important for them. Scheduling very differently than what we used to. It's scheduling the things that made up our daily usage prior to 2020, things like going to sports classes, things like getting home in time and starting to cook or watching their favorite TV show or having time put aside for homework. Mm. It's very important now. And you've talked about this a lot as well about healthy eating, is how important time is as a factor for healthy eating. And then as well, when we look at alcohol consumption and how if we're scheduling activities and we're scheduling things to keep our brains active, to keep our minds active, to keep ourselves active, we're forgetting about those things that could be detrimental to our health in the long run. So it is important, and we will be talking at a later date more about scheduling and how you can do it for your sporting clubs or participants to help them make sure that they're getting back to a normal way of life a lot quicker than that lag that we could be seeing.
Yeah, a big challenge over the year has been a disruption in our routines and that scheduling that you're talking about. And routines are so important across our day because it gives us a sense of control and agency, and it really reduces our stress and anxiety. And so one of the main sources of stress in the lockdown was that our routines went out the window and everything was foreign. And, you know, trying to find the sense of normality and rhythm again across our week. Now it's about building back that routine. And I think you're absolutely right, James. It's about saying, how can I build a routine, keep the good parts, keep the parts that I've, you know, this was a once in a century chance to kind of rethink our lives a bit. There were some big challenges, some big things that didn't work well, and it's come at a big cost. But we're now coming out of it. We're safe as a society. So let's create a routine and really set ourselves up individually as much as possible within our means for health success.
This entire process, I have seen the opportunities that are going to come out of, you know, what has been a really difficult time. Like there are really a lot of opportunities to rethink the way that we just structure our society. But, you know, that's an entire topic for another day. But I am curious. No, that's all right. No, I am curious to ask you though, Sandro, how did you go? You know, how did you go when you're in your sort of social isolation? How'd you go with your eating? Takeaway much?
Well, so I I came back from 10 years living overseas in Europe last October. So for me, it was like not only coming back and living in an apartment again, living in Melbourne again, and being so close to my family, but then not being able to see them. So I was struggling with all of those things. But I think from a food perspective, look, I love cooking. So for me, there were some definite silver linings. I could get up in the morning, put my bologna beans on to soak. By 4 o'clock, they're ready to cook. I can cook them for a couple of hours, make something, you know, or slow cook some meat over the day. You know, it sounds very extravagant, but it's actually really simple food, but it just takes time. And you don't have, you know, who has 8 hours to cook a slow cooked leg of lamb in 2020? Well, this year I did, you know, but there were also some real challenges as well. I mean, being in the house constantly, an easy thing to do is graze and go to the kitchen looking for things that you can eat. I love corn chips like anyone does. So making sure that things like that aren't in the house as much as possible. And what I did actually really early on, which I recommend to everyone, is just to always have a big glass of water nearby, because I'll eat what I can see. I'm pretty simple, like most people. I'll eat what I can see. So I always sit, and I have them right here in front of me right now, two big bowls of fruit and a big glass of water. Because what I was finding was I was drinking loads of coffee and then nibbling on things like cheese and other stuff in the cupboard. So I made sure that I had a fruit bowl. I made sure that I had water. And that way, my kind of go-tos between meetings were to start. I'd find myself in a Zoom meeting starting to peel a mandarin because I'm looking to, you know, to eat something. So tried to put things in place, given that I was in a closed environment, can't go far, just trying to make the things that are within reach as healthy as possible.
I think that's great. You're making your own new habits.
These
habitual learnings that we're all coming to know. And I think Nietzsche said that only times of large paradigmal shifts do we really learn who we are. And that's what it is. We've had such a struggle in 2020. And look, it hasn't been very easy for anybody, but we are learning more about ourselves, who we are, and what we can do differently going into the future. And I think that comes to the question that I'm really, really interested to know is, what do you think the future of kind of this healthy eating, healthy food habit leading out of lockdown, getting into summer, getting into 2021, what do you think it will look like for those who have struggled so much over the last year?
Look, with my optimistic hat on, and my positive hat, I'm really excited for the next couple of months. I think Melbourne and Victoria is a food bowl of the country. In fact, it's a food bowl of the region. We feed four times as many people as we have in the country as a nation. We are a massive producer of food, and we produce some of the highest quality food in the world. And also, summer is just such a fun time to be eating and in the kitchen. So, you know, you've got cherries, watermelons, peaches, nectarines. You've got all the beautiful summer vegetables, you know, eggplants, tomatoes, cucumbers, all the things that you and I have grown up eating lots of, James. So you've got a really fantastic time. You've got a city and a state that is obsessed and world renowned for food. And I think we really need, and we're looking for ways to connect and be with each other and be happy and really celebrate community again. And what better way than with food? What I would say, because there's always a but, is I do also worry though. Because I worry for the food prices have not gone down. The year is getting harder. The economic conditions are getting tougher. And I really worry that if we don't take greater action from federal government, that we're going to see a big group of Victorians enjoying recovery and great food. And there'll be a really big group of Victorian families who simply can't put good food on the table because they can't afford to. And so I think, you know, I think there's a big risk, but I also think there's a really great opportunity through recovery with food.
Spot on. Recovery is not just a Victorian basis. We need a federal attention on it to make sure that everybody can live a happy and healthy lifestyle.
Just to finish off talking about recovery, a bit of a segue into my favourite way to recover from anything is breakfast. A bit of a theme of this episode is we're checking out what people like to eat for breakfast. So, Dr. Sandro, what is your favourite brekkie, either to cook or to eat out?
So, first of all, full disclosure, I don't eat a huge breakfast. I usually have a milk coffee and then I go for a run, and then about mid-morning I might have a bowl of muesli once I'm really hungry. But having said that, on weekends,
this is what I'm after.
The tradition on a weekend has become homemade pancakes in our household. I make them with whole oats, which it's actually a Norwegian recipe that I picked up. So it's whole oats and then loads of fresh ricotta, some good eggs from some happy chickens, some milk, some cinnamon, a little bit of sugar and a few other things. And I serve them with usually some homemade jam or some maple syrup. My partner likes to cover it in ice cream, even on a Sunday morning. And The main reason is because my grandma actually lives about three doors away. And so every Sunday through lockdown, we've developed this really fun tradition that I go and drop. Well, it started with one pancake outside my 97-year-old grandma's door. Then it became two. They both disappeared. Then it became three. I just kept going. Now I drop about six and they just kind of slowly disappear over the week. And I think one might get shared with her great-granddaughter when she visits, who's a little one-year-old. So that's been the really nice tradition, breakfast tradition we've created across lockdown.
Hopefully a tradition that will stay and will last many years longer.
I'll tell you what, when I don't drop the pancakes off, I get a very stern text message. So I have learnt my lesson. The don't worry, James, the tradition is staying forever.
Good, I love it. I also, just to touch on that as well, I think now's the time to plant all your fresh veggies, your fresh herbs. We're just about to go into a pretty hot summer, I think. But I think now's the time to get your tomatoes in. I've just planted my basil, my parsley. I've got my chives up and coming and four different types of cherry tomatoes. So we've got to get them in.
Connecting over fresh and healthy food. Thanks so much for joining us and for giving us your insight and giving us some more insight into Vic Health and the work you're doing. And we're looking forward to seeing the next round of research that comes out.
Thanks, Cara. Thanks, James.
Wow, what a fountain of knowledge is our friend, Dr. Sandra DeMayo, CEO of Vic Health. James?
I think I am so impressed by him, I'll be honest. It's just like everything that he said, I was like, yes, tell me more. And what else do you know about food? And then for those that don't know as well, both him and his father have a cookbook. They've done a lot of cooking throughout their life. They are so in touch with what's currently happening with healthy eating. And I think that his role at Vic Health is just so special that he can bring this forward and really shape Victoria to be a really sustainable, healthy and great place to live.
Yeah. Listen, he's obviously incredibly knowledgeable and incredibly passionate about, you know, improving the health and well-being of all Victorians. And that really shone through with me. You know, I know that their research is focused on a lot of the challenges that we've seen this year, but he's certainly not a doom and gloom person. You know, it's all about what we can do and what Vic Health can do to improve everybody's lives and to what the learnings will be if we ever have to be in that situation again. So absolutely enjoyed chatting with him, that's for sure. And look, for everybody at home who's listening, if you did want to have a look, Vic Health have got a really good set of resources on their website. They have a Be Healthy blog. There's some really great information on there, particularly around that subject that we did chat with Dr. Sandro about, which is affordable food and affordable healthy food. They've got some great recipes on there that can sort of suit any budget. So, you know, it's a really good resource.
Yeah, and I think on my social media as well lately, I've seen so many recipes pop up that are cheap and easy meals or cheap and healthy meals. And so much has come up on my social media around how to eat healthy and people sharing their thoughts about what it means to them, what healthy eating means to them, and also where to get the best produce from that I have never seen before.
Yeah, and listen, I think that, look, this time of year, the sun comes out and there tends to be, or maybe it's just that my social media feeds, you know, they're catered for the 40-something-year-old mum, you know, the sun.
40.
the sun comes out and they know that I'm keen to be getting in my fitness and stuff, but there's definitely a lot around in terms of health and well-being, which is incredible to see. And so, you know, it's worth checking it out. Like if you've got a local group that's looking at getting together and going for and a walking group, or if there's a group that gets together to do cooking classes, anything like that, or if you do see local classes in eating and things like that, like absolutely, absolutely go ahead with that, because it's a really good way to improve your health and your knowledge when you connect in with other people. Also as well, James, getting into sport, like we've seen in Victoria, it's every week now, like we're super excited about days and days and days now of double zeros, double donut days. And what that's doing is it's setting us up to get back into sports. So we're seeing loads of, you know, under 18 sports getting back on track, as well as other sporting communities, which is great. So, you know, we're all interested in getting started or holding on to those healthy habits.
Yeah, definitely. I know I am. That's for sure. I know I am. I get to go back to the gym every now and then when I want. I mean, it's a new booking system. It's a very healthy system as well that they've put in place. I feel very safe and secure where I go in my gym. I'm getting ready to go back to sport as well, to get back to to where I was. So healthy eating is the start of that journey for me. I need to start educating myself again for the things that maybe I haven't been doing so well over the past 8 or so months to really make sure that I'm at the best possible place I can be to help my teammates and to get back started in sport and in physical activity.
Yeah, look, me too. On that note, James, I think we will kick off and we will go, and I'm going to go and make myself a super healthy lunch and drink a big glass of water.
I think I'm going to try and make those pancakes that Dr. Sandro talked about.
I have thought about those, you know.
those ricotta, and it's just so fancy.
Maybe we should hit him up for a recipe to include.
Great. All right. I'll get in touch with him now. So until next time, Cara.
Next time we are actually going to be chatting about a general well-being check-in, where we're going to do a general well-being check-in, see what's happening around the place in terms of how we're all going with our new COVID normal. So it's a bit of a bits and pieces show next week and should be good.
Excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. See you next time.
See ya.